Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Praying for America, joint production of Priests for Life and Right Side Broadcasting Network. It's great to have you with us. And we are tonight going to continue our prayers as Christians, as patriots, joining from across the country and indeed around the world. And we are going to be joined by a very special guest. Let me introduce him, and then we'll go into our scripture, our prayer, and our conversation. He is a longtime friend and ally of me and Priests for Life. He works now for Focus on the Family, which many of you, I'm sure, are not only familiar with, but involved in. He is the Director for External and Government Relations, Vice President of Government Relations and External Relations for that organization, and served in the George W. Bush administration. In fact, Timothy Gagelein and I first connected during the presidential campaign of the year 2000. And we then had a lot of contact once George W. Bush was president, because Tim worked as the deputy director in the Office of Public Liaison for the president. He was a special assistant to the president. And we would often interact in meetings of national leaders and pro-life leaders, where Tim would bring us updates from the White House and we would have our questions and our concerns and he would bring them right back to the White House. It was a great, great working relationship. And now we actually share office space in Washington behind the Supreme Court with Tim and with his work with Focus on the Family. So, Tim Gagelein, welcome to the program.
Father, it is always a pleasure to be with you, and particularly at this time where I think it's fair to say our beloved, remarkable country has never needed prayer more than now, has it?
That is for sure, and that's why this program is so popular in our broadcasts and with the folks who watch Right Side Broadcasting as well as our own endabortion.tv. There's a scripture I thought of in regard to our discussion today that comes from Philippians chapter 4. We read starting in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make known your requests to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and think about these things, keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you." Let us pray. Father, we come before you again tonight praying for America, rejoicing in your gifts and heeding the admonition of St. Paul to dismiss anxiety from our minds, to rejoice. And at the same time, as we face the evils and challenges, to do so in that positive and productive and creative spirit that you give us. Send your Holy Spirit. Help us to see, Lord God, what to do, each in our own vocation. Help us to have the strength to persevere in doing it. Increase the unity with which we work together with so many collaborators, and give success to the work of our hands. Maybe we be willing and ready to sacrifice, and may our sacrifices for the sake of your kingdom and for the sake of our nation bear abundant fruit as we rejoice in your gifts and as we rejoice in your salvation. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So, Tim, I was thinking as I was preparing and choosing that passage for this discussion, you and I have often talked about the fact that we're optimists, both of us. You know, we look at the problems, we're very aware of the circumstances that we're in, But I think many of our viewers also share this approach. We look at everything, but then we look at the even bigger picture of God's providence, God's grace, in which our founders trusted, and we say, you know what? There's a God that transcends the circumstances of history, and he's our hope. And in that hope, we can move forward for America and for our work for the kingdom.
I could not agree more. In fact, that is a beautiful summation, Father, of exactly how I see the world, because I am a Christian. You know, Christ is risen. A very dear friend of mine, I think very eloquently once said, we are not rushing toward any victories. He said, we are rushing from one. And what he meant by that is that it's so easy, you know, to get into a mindset that somehow, you know, I can be the architect, you know, of all of the confusion and chaos that swerves across our national life and across our personal lives. And of course, we believe in moral responsibility and taking personal responsibility. Of course we do. But as you say, and as Lincoln said so eloquently, the will of God prevails, you know, at that remarkably, you know, calamitous year of 1863. We're in the middle of a civil war, ultimately, Father, that would claim 750,000 American lives. I mean, it's almost, you know, hard to fathom. And even in that moment, Abraham Lincoln, one of our greatest presidents, came to see, you know, that the hand of God was not only in the sunny uplands, you know, to paraphrase Churchill, that God himself was not only, you know, present when we're on top of the mountain and it's a sunny morning and it's blue skies and the birds are singing. He is also the God who's with us personally and as a nation when we are in the valley. And I love the readings that you shared with us because they embody gratitude. I mean, gratitude is so important, isn't it?
Yes.
Fact that I love that. I love the, you know, the beautiful picture that we can see from Scripture of St. Paul, who's actually singing from prison. You know, I mean, it's a remarkable life to be a Christian in the public square, where we can realize that we are all part of the divine plan, that we're not, you know, just the creators every single day of, you know, of our own fate. We take responsibility for it. We believe that faith and reason go together. But ultimately, as you say, we can realize we don't have to be stressed and we don't have to live in a maelstrom of pressure and anxiety, because Christ has come and he continues to walk with us when it's sunny and blue skies and when it's lightning and rain.
You know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the current lightning and rain. I mean, you have a great perspective. You worked at the White House. And then, of course, we had the Obama administration. Then we had this miraculous election of Donald Trump, and to the surprise of so many, such tremendous pro-life progress. And then we had a very strange election in 2020. And now we've got literally, I don't know if it's ever been more polar opposite what the parties represent, the Democrat versus Republican Party. When you're, of course, working now for Focus on the Family, government relations and so forth, talking to our audience who are all patriots and follow all these things closely, what are some of the what's some of the advice you would give in terms of the things we've got to focus on the most, pray about the hardest, and get the most involved in?
Well, thank you for that question. I think it's the $64,000 question. And I would answer three ways. First and foremost, attendant to the entire narrative of this program, Father, number one is we need to be a nation in prayer. You know, some people say we've never been more divided than now, that our differences have never been more toxic than now. I don't agree with that. You know, two-thirds of all people in the United States during the American Revolution were either indifferent to the revolution or for the British. Only a third of Americans favored the American Revolution. I mentioned the Civil War a little while ago. There's polarization for you. Brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, shooting each other in peach orchards. What a violent, terrible conflagration that was. And of course, the social and the moral revolution of the 1960s and 70s, which in many ways gave rise to the terrific ministry of Priests for Life. You all have very few equals, in your peerless drive toward the welcoming into the world of the innocent preborn. So I do think we've been, as or more polarized than ever. But may I say, Father, point number one through all of this is we need to pray. The second thing is related to the first, which is on social and moral policy. What's good for the family? What's good for marriage? What's good for parents? What's good for the sanctity of human life, religious liberty? I mean, we have never, and never is a big word, we have never ever felt, the downward daily assault politically, legally, culturally, against the permanent things, against the institutions that God has given us. And so I think we have to recognize that we are truly in the midst of a cultural maelstrom, a word I used earlier, which is completely in opposition to all that Providence has shown our nation as to what is the beautiful, the just, and the true. And the third thing, Father, I think sums up points one and two. And I think it is the following. I think it is that people, despite this, should not be discouraged. They should not be despairing. They should not give up. The temptation is toward apathy, to sign off, to drop out, to disengage. This is precisely the hour in America's history where we need people to engage more than ever. And Father, maybe you're the same. I believe in the pro-life space, despite our opponents, I think the pro-life issue is winning in a massive way. I think at the most local level, we have seen parents across this nation rise up and say, wait a minute, parents are the first teachers. We have record numbers of people who are either running for or contemplating running at the local level for school boards. So, I mean, from the national to the local, I think there are reasons, to be optimistic. I'm with you. I'm a bottomless optimist and inveterate optimist. And I think very good days are ahead for the things that we hold most dear in public policy.
And speaking of the good days ahead, would you say to our audience that you're confident that the midterm elections of 2022 are going to bring us back to some sanity in America and put up a roadblock to the extreme policies of the Democrats?
You know, it's very interesting, Father. I've actually been researching this very question just in the last month and a half. There have only been two midterm elections since the early 1930s, when the party in power, the party in the Oval Office, actually gained seats, in the midterm elections. One of them, of course, was the first midterm election after the election of Franklin Roosevelt and all of his promises about the New Deal. 2 years later, as a result of those promises, the Democratic Party increased their presence in the House and in the Senate. And of course, the other one I was present for during the George W. Bush years, that thing called 9/11, that terrible tragedy had happened between President Bush's inauguration and the first midterms. And as a result of that, the country was united going into war. And as a result, in the first midterm after George W. Bush was elected, there was an increase of Republican seats. But only those two elections from the 1930s all the way down to the present have we seen the party in the Oval Office gain seats. And so if historic precedent continues, I think it potentially could be a very good year for the Grand Old Party in the House and maybe even in the Senate. The focus on the family, we're partisan not to the party, but to the issues. And we believe that the American people, people of goodwill of all parties, are paying attention. And I think there is much that they're looking at that they're saying, this is not what we want in the public square.
You know, I know, Tim, that you have a meeting up at the U.S. Senate. And of course, it goes to show the kind of work that you're involved in day to day. And so I have one more question for you, very important.
Please,
one.
Sure.
Because it ties into the fact that we always ask our people to take specific action. And that is, you wrote a beautiful book. I was privileged to write an endorsement of it just a couple of years ago, I guess it was. Tell us about your book and how our viewers can get it.
That is so great of you, Father. The book is called American Restoration, and the narrative is not dissimilar from the conversation that we've been having. You know, for Focus on the Family, I travel a lot. And whether I'm in, Nebraska or New York, Florida, Texas, California, I hear the exact same thing almost all the time. I hear people say, I've never been more concerned for my country. They say if they have children or grandchildren, they're particularly concerned about that generation and the kind of country that's resulting for them. And then I heard the third thing, which is, what can I do? And I thought to myself, after 3 years of hearing, what can I do? I thought, I think I'll write a book that will answer what people can do. And so American Restoration sets out in 15 chapters, very specifically, the problems and concerns that most, burden America. But it's not just 15 chapters about what are the problems, what are the burdens, what are the hurdles. It's 15 chapters that say, here are the burdens, but here's what you can do. In other words, it's a book that is very action oriented. And I know, Father, in your marvelous endorsement, that you share the view that it's not enough just to look at the problems and to share that opinion with the person who happens to be sitting next to you, that we have to go out, attend to our call as Christians into the public square and to be involved. And that's how you, raise up a generation of Constitution-loving young people, how you transform, in the best sense, not the worst sense, how you transform a country around the one that our founding fathers and our founding mothers envisioned. And I'm very hopeful that we have millions upon millions of faithful Catholics, evangelicals, Christians, other people of faith, who are looking for a restoration, an American restoration, the title of the book. And I hope that it's just one contribution to this goal that we all have, praying for our nation looking forward to a country that is consonant with the vision of our founders.
So, friends, I urge you to get that book, American Restoration, another part of our ongoing biblical patriotic education, as we like to say on this particular program. So it's been a pleasure, Tim. Friends, we've been talking with Timothy Gagline from Focus on the Family, Vice President of External Government Relations, and he served under President George W. Bush as Deputy Director of the Office for Public Liaison. Thanks for all your service, Tim, to the country and to the kingdom. We look forward to our ongoing collaboration. Thanks for being part of the program today. We're going to let you disconnect and go over to the Senate, and then I'll conclude our program with some additional prayers. But please be assured that you're in our prayers each day.
Thank you so much, Father Frank. God bless you, and God bless the great people of Priests for Life.
Thanks so much. We'll talk soon. Brothers and sisters, Tim is a great example of what we need to be as patriots and as Christian patriots specifically. So let's turn again to the Lord in prayer based on everything that we've just been discussing. Father, we do root ourselves in Christian hope. Lord God, it is not simply a natural optimism, which perhaps many of us share as a personality trait, but it is deeper. It is a hope. It is a virtue, a theological virtue, based, O God, in your providence over this universe, and specifically your providence over America. We know that hope is not hope unless it holds on to something that is precisely not seen, that precisely goes against the evidence that is before us, that is precisely transcendent over and beyond everything that is in history, that is bound by time and space. Rather, Lord God, it expands our vision beyond what we see, beyond what we experience, beyond what we can measure, beyond what the headlines say, beyond what the analysts can probe. But it goes into those matters that only the Spirit can probe. It goes into those matters of eternity, where we have a victory based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not based on human ingenuity or skill or power, but based on the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which the kingdom of death has been conquered and sin has been obliterated. So, Father, we thank you for that gift of hope. It's an anchor for our souls. It is a foundation stone for the kingdom. It is a continuous an essential aspect of our discipleship. Thank you, Lord, for that gift of hope, because it is there that we can look at America and say, God is not finished blessing this country. We can say with Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, as he is lamenting over the destruction of the virgin daughter of Zion, of the city of Jerusalem, even of the temple, and in the midst of that grief and destruction, he can say, the favors of the Lord are not exhausted. His mercies are not spent. They are renewed each morning, so great is his faithfulness. And then he goes on to say, good is the Lord to the one who waits for him, to the soul that trusts in him. It is good to hope in silence for the saving help of the Lord. Lord God, in the midst of the destruction being wrought on our country now, even by some of its leaders, we hope in silence for your saving help. And Lord, one of the places we look for the help that is to come is indeed in the midterm elections of 2022, for which we ask your grace and your strength to adequately prepare, and in which we can put up a roadblock to these destructive policies that we see coming from the Democrat Party. Lord God, we can put up a roadblock by winning back the House of Representatives and placing it in Republican hands, placing it in America First hands, leaders who will put this country first, leaders who will implement the agenda that President Donald J. Trump has taught us, leaders who will be pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious freedom, pro-America. Lord God, we want to take back the Senate as well. Bring back to those who believe in America these levers of power in our federal lawmaking body, the U.S. Congress. And Lord, then we will be able better to resist those efforts of the Democrat Party to destroy our freedoms, to destroy the unborn, to destroy this nation. We ask all this in the mighty name and in the spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, as we pray for America, let's pray the prayer that Jesus himself gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, friends. Connect with me on social media. That is at Fr. Frank Pavone, as you can see on the screen, at Fr. Frank Pavone. Getter. I hope you're on Getter. Parler, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, if you're still on it. I know many have left Twitter, but nevertheless, we go where people are and we bring the message. Connect with me on those platforms. Likewise, at RSB Network, stay connected with Right Side Broadcasting, and you'll be able to get news and broadcasts. And of course, I hope you're as excited as I am about Saturday night. Are we going to be together Saturday night for the rally that President Trump is holding in Iowa? What a great rally he had in Georgia. I trust that you watched it. You can always watch these things again. They're on Right Side Broadcasting. They're on our website as well. We've got a special website, presidenttrumprallies.com. And we borrow the feed, of course, from Right Side Broadcasting to bring those rallies to our audience. So let's get ready for this Saturday night, October 9th, to watch that rally from President Trump. That's going to be great, inspiring, encouraging, just like our guest tonight, Tim Gagline from Focus on the Family, was inspiring and encouraging as well. So thanks for staying connected with us on social media, friends, and spread the word about this program. Bring more Christians, bring more patriots together so that we can pray for America. Thanks for all that you do. We pray for you too. May God bless all your intentions, all your needs, and fill you with His grace, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.